You know, I was going to come on for the college show, and I was going to play a little Boomer Sooner for all the Sooner fans out there, but I figured my tires would be flatter because there's a lot of Oklahoma fans. You don't think that, but there are a lot of Oklahoma fans.
It's when they win.
Well, yeah, the fair weather fans.
When they win, they're out there. And same with K-State, same with KU, same with a lot of teams like the Packers, stuff like that. Yeah, when the Packers, you know, they do well, you know, you see a lot of that. But
that's exactly right.
When you're not playing well, for some reason, you're already downtrodden. People are beating you up, and then you go to one of these big companies out here, and you're wearing your Packer stuff, and then people point at you and start laughing at you, and then that even hurts worse.
That
happens to me a lot anyway. People point
that
laugh
every,
at me. And
every day of my life, my friend. All right, it is the Buster Coaches Show here on AM 1030 KBUF alongside Ross Miller, Mike Pilosoff, Brett Erskine, our producer engineer back in the studio. Before we're going to have our first time, we're going to be talking basketball on the show. We'll have Nick Salazar, head women's coach, his first year as the head coach. He will join us here in just a second. First, let's talk football. A loss that, in all likelihood, I mean, there's a remote chance, but right now, all likelihood, the playoff chances for Garden City are very slim. They need help. They would have won the Highland game, they controlled their own destiny. They do not control their own destiny now. They are on the outside looking in, and the only thing that I can see as even a chance, and maybe you can correct me, because maybe I'm looking at the numbers wrong, because Garden City has three losses overall. Yeah. So the only thing that I could see happen is if they beat Dodge City, and then Dodge City loses their finale. That's the only thing I can see happening.
But here's what goes on, is that Dodge City will be done after us.
That's exactly right.
Okay, and then two is that Hutch plays Independence and Butler. Chance they could lose both of them, but unfortunately, guess who they have the tiebreaker over?
Well, they have it over Garden City.
Garden City. That's the sad thing. They will not lose against Indy. Guarantee that. No, Garden City's going to be looking on the outside in. What the thing is that what you want to do, Mike, is that you – and the coaches know this too – that you want to keep these kids in this because there's great connections up here at this college. And the way we handled ourselves at the last bowl game and how we handled ourselves – goes a long ways to getting that large berth. Now, we'll have to travel. We will not be going to Pittsburgh or Hutch. I guarantee that. If we have that opportunity. The thing is, though, you need to go 6-3. You've got to win your last two ball games. You want to be able to knock Dodge off. Say, see, look what we did. Thing is, though, that Dodge City right now, you know what they're playing for, conference championship. That's what they want because they can at least tie, come in with a tie with it if Butler County beats Hutch, which will be interesting. And I want to bring this out to a lot of people is that I can't wait to go see the officiating for the Hutch-Butler game.
Yeah.
Because it has been interesting that when our team has played Butler, heavily favored in my opinion to Butler, when we played Hutch, it was no doubt about it because some of the good old boy network over there, they were putting their arms around each other. They'd throw a yellow flag out there, run over to Coach Rhodes and ask him what should the call be. And it's not that I'm against officials. I like there's great officials out here.
Problem is,
we haven't seen too many great officials in this stuff that went on against Highland. I mean, a lot of this sometimes, and we talked about this, Michael, I'll take the blame for it. If people want to give me a call, they can give me a call. Nick, what's your number that I can give out there real quick like that? Okay, somebody's got a problem with me.
I don't think Salazar's handing out any phone numbers. Okay.
But
not unless you're 6'4".
But the thing is, what is bad is that, you know, that if you're going to bark the loudest, people are going to come in and try to neuter you. And that's the truth. And you've got to, when you're barking, you better be barking on the right side. You better stay on the right side all the way because you tend to lean over to the wrong side one time. Everybody's going to go and say, see, we told you. Told you these guys were running a bad program. And so that's why you've got to, if you're going to bark the loudest, you better be straight up and you better be running a great program. Garden City's doing that. Thing is, though, in my opinion, I feel like that we're the Tea Party and the IRS is after us. That's how I feel about this right now.
Well, and the other thing that's really disappointing the last two games, when you look at this, they forced 7 turnovers against Butler.
Yeah.
And then they have a pick 6 return for a touchdown that gives them the lead against arguably the best quarterback in this conference. And maybe one of the best quarterbacks in the country. And we see it really all go by the wayside because, and we'll say it, penalties and just self-inflicted wounds.
Yes.
And for the third time this season, again, if you put me like in a firing range and you got three guys going to shoot me and they said, all right, they're going to ask me the question, Mike, do you think Highland is better than Garden City? Do you think Butler is better than Garden City? And do you think Hutch is better? And I'd say talent-wise, no.
Yeah.
But as far as – discipline-wise, the Hutch game is a wash because that was ridiculous. The Butler game, I mean, if you're a team that can, you know, have seven turnovers and still find a way to win a game, hats off to you, Coach Morrow.
Yep.
And then last week, I thought it was a relatively clean played football game. The officiating wasn't poor. It wasn't great. But the game was won on the field. And again, self-inflicted wounds killing Garden City for the fourth time this season.
Two big plays, you got to remember, were brought back on holding, and that's what kind of killed Garden City also. But the thing is, Garden City is a – well, they're a good team. And now that we've got Nick here, Nick, I know that he's pro because he's got to be pro officials too, and I'm sure all the officials are listening to us. And Nick may want to go under an assumed name, by the way. We won't talk about that. You are the women's basketball coach. Anything like that. Let anybody know that you're out here. But I agree with you. I mean, we've got a good program. Matt Miller and that crew wants to win the West. Now, it's not going to happen this year. Are we going to play on a level field as everybody else? That's what you hope for, Michael. And I'll say this, and I said this on air, and like I said, if anybody's got any problem with it, they can get a hold of me. I'm not giving my phone number out, though.
I'll find it.
But
back of a stall anywhere.
But yeah, oh, that's a good one. But the thing is, though, that, and like I said, if you're going to bark and complain, then you better make sure that you're running a good ship, and you better make sure that you've got the discipline on your team, too. And there's some cases that I think that we're lacking some discipline with a couple of these players, to be truthful, in my opinion. I understand being aggressive, and you want to control when you're aggressive, you want to control that also, and not make foolish penalties. Holding calls can go either way, and that's my deal. Like I said, I feel like that we've got a very good coaching staff, great support through the community, and like I said, it's just one of these deals that we're going to continue to bark, and you've got to continue to bark for people to listen to you.
And I would challenge anybody that ever says we're anti-Buster. You and I are the biggest cheerleaders when we're calling the games, because that's, first of all, that we're fans, but we're also, this is our team. So we're going to be, same thing with basketball, whatever sport we're doing. That's just the way it is. But when it comes down to it, we call the game how it is. I mean, that's just the way it is. And I know you were, and you had like a little rant before we went at halftime. And I think you had every right to say what you said, because, you know, Devontae Derricotte, and I'm not singling him out, but I'm just giving an example. Devontae Derricotte is probably the best linebacker in the country.
Boy, very good.
And it just, the guy had double-digit tackles, I think, for the third or fourth straight game. Him and Earl Clark are probably the two top linebackers, I think, in the country. And Derricotte cost us 15 yards because, and we don't know what's going on down there again.
Right.
We don't know if somebody's getting tased or, you know, like you ever seen the longest yard or whatever, and the guy's got the little shot, and he's just shocking the, you know what I'm saying? So we don't know if that's going on.
Well, someone throwing an uppercut, even under uppercut underneath the chin. I mean, that happens out there.
Burt Reynolds could be sitting on the bottom of that pile. We have no idea.
But it would be tough, Michael. When you put that self, I mean, it's tough for me to put myself in that situation where if someone hits you and you're fired up. Number one, Derricotte, to play the positions you're playing, you better be a fired up individual.
Oh, yeah. And he is.
And there's a lot of linebackers throughout history that are fired up. But the thing is, though, was it something, and that's where you've got to give this to Derricotte, is was there something that ticked him off?
Exactly. And that's why I wanted to preface my statement by that, because he cost him 15 yards, but we don't know what's going on. I mean, again, something could have been going on under the pile. He could have been protecting one of his guys, because remember, these 11 guys, they're all family when they go out there. So I say he cost him 15 yards, but at the same time, we don't know the entire story. But in the end, it doesn't matter what story it is. All the referee cares about is what the referee sees. And usually it's always the second person. I mean, he could have got kicked in the tush, and nobody would have saw that. Right. But they saw him give a shove, and that was 15 yards. Now, I don't think Highland scored on that drive, but the point was it set the tone. It's the same thing with the turnovers. You know, we had back-to-back turnovers. We had one turnover where Snell's just trying to make a play, and he loses the ball because he's got 12 guys draped on him. And Kidd picks it up, runs it in for a touchdown. And then Ferris James, who we didn't see in the second half, reserve running back, he coughs it up, and, you know, that's the story. I mean, that was and I want to point this out, too, before we get to basketball. Jake Curran did not lose that game.
Oh.
Jake Curran, I thought, played well. He had a couple of bad throws, but I thought he played well. The interception at the end, Tyreek Hill was wide open. Pocket collapsed, got hit as he threw the football. But overall, if I was going to give Jake Curran myself, and I'll get your grade on him, I would say a B. I mean, because he missed a couple of throws, but he led him on that drive. He used his legs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, something we did not see Akeem Jones do. We saw Jake use his legs, and I think on that one drive he had like four carries for 50 yards, including the touchdown. So
and you got to remember, one of those carries was at basically about four escapes. Yeah. And he used the strength of your legs and your body to get away from that, though. But, no, I thought he did a good job. And I'll tell you what helps is that he's in a learning process right now, believe it or not. I mean, he's been around here for a long time, but being the starting quarterback with that loaded big game, since we've got nothing but big games lined up now. Dodge City Saturday will be a big game. Garden City, like I said, we've got a great coaching staff. My deal is that we'll be able to load up, go over there. It's getting the kids to continue to buy in, because life isn't over. Football's not over. You still got two big games going on here, and you still do have an outside chance of getting to a bowl game somewhere. We may have to travel a long way, but you got an outside chance because of the way they handled themselves last year.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we flip to basketball, and today, I guess the season is officially underway, not the actual regular season, but they did have the Jayhawk Conference Media Day. We were in Wichita earlier today. We'll talk with Nick Salazar, first-year women's coach, coming up on the other side of the Coach's Show. All right, back at the Coach's Show, AM 1030 KBUF, alongside Ross Miller, Mike Pilosoff, $1.50 Taco Night. That's the way it works on Monday here at Jack's at the corner of Mary and Campus in Garden City. We're going to move away from football here for a second. And by the way, we should remind you before we do, Dodge City and Garden City, the rivalry matchup, will be heard right here on AM 1030 KBUF, your exclusive voice of Buster Sports. We'll have the Taco Bell pregame show Saturday night, 6:30, and then myself and Ross Miller from the Demon Dome, 7 o'clock kick right here on AM 1030 KBUF. All right, as we bring in Nick Salazar, the head women's coach, you said this perfectly when we were off the air. Man, this has been a long day.
Certainly has.
I'm going to take a guess because I left last night. I was in Wichita last night, but you left this morning, so I'm assuming you were up because you have a baby too. So you were up probably about 2:30 a.m., right?
Well, I'm fortunate that my babies are sleeping through the night, but we had film to watch, which got done about 1:30. And, and then it was up at 4:30. The life of the coach, I guess.
Now, you drove by yourself?
Drove by myself.
Man. Now, you didn't have to, like, pull over. See, I almost had to do that, and I'm a pansy. But I almost had to pull over on the side of the road at some point on the way back, and I got at least probably 4 hours of sleep, maybe the same as you, and I didn't. I just kept going. But
you pulled off on the side of the road. That's not pansy. That's actually
pretty smart.
That's pretty cowboy right there. I mean.
Well, it's not cowboy when you pull over and then you are jolted when somebody hits you off the side of the road, but that's another story. But this is an exciting time because you guys open the regular season coming up here really in 2 weeks.
Two weeks.
Can you believe that?
Not really. I'm actually very, very surprised. It feels like yesterday, you know, I was officially hired for this position on May the 20th. It seemed so far, but in just a blink of an eye, here we are. Practice has started. We're well into that. Media day is, I guess, come and gone now, and got two scrimmages left, and then we open for real. So it's going quickly.
You know it's the regular season now because you're going to be seeing – I mean, we're going to become your new best friends.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? So
you and tacos, apparently.
Yeah.
$1.50 taco night.
And you won't have to worry about me throwing you under the bus. I just need to get your phone number in case we have problems. But you guys have already done some basketball. You've already went down, got a little test, got to see what the kids were about. Find out you've got really a pretty good team, been picked sixth in the conference, and you were explaining to me some of the kids that you've brought in, which is kind of a good factor, isn't it? I mean, you get to do the surprise factor with everybody, too, here in the conference.
Oh, absolutely. You know, that's one of the things we preach to the kids is that, you know, it's kind of been a recurring theme. We're going to underpromise and overachieve. And so getting picked sixth in the preseason poll definitely gives us an opportunity to do that. They don't put a lot of stock into what happened today. You know, I think, admittedly, the coaches don't know a whole lot about us. I think I said that during the interview portion. I think there's a lot of unknowns, a lot of new. All anybody who voted in the poll really knew is that arguably the greatest player ever to play here, Tamra Jones, is gone. Mikel Chin, one of the best point guards in junior college last year, is gone. Talia Pope is gone. Denny Jacobs is gone. Kanae Green is gone, and I think that's all anybody really knew. And don't forget, Alora Sharp herself is gone. And so I think that really played the biggest factor into, you know, where we were picked. And nobody knows anything about me other than I was Alora's assistant for 2 years. And so I think just a lot of unknown factors, and that probably led to where we were picked as much as anything. You know, because if you even look at the poll as a whole, I mean, Hutch being picked ahead of Seward to me is more about tradition and things and respect for John Onchus than anything else, because I think anyone who has seen any teams play kind of knows that Seward County probably has the most talent of anyone else and probably should be the preseason pick for number one in the West.
That is Nick Salazar, first-year head women's coach, joining us here on the Buster Coaches Show on AM 1030 KBUF. This is what we do know, that you played your college ball at the Pit, right? You played at the Pit?
I have been to the Pit. I don't know that I've ever actually did play in the Pit, but it certainly wasn't for the Lobos, although my driveway growing up was the Pit. Hey. And I definitely dreamt of playing for the Lobos and running down the mile high and louder than you know what ramp.
Well, and you never figure that not only the voice of the Busters would be a UNLV graduate, which I mean, we hate New Mexico. I mean, that's New Mexico and San Diego State. I mean, those are the two schools. Oh, BYU, but they're not in the conference.
But exactly. But we talked about this morning, and that is when, you know, the new Mountain West with UNLV in it. You know, I actually can, and I told you this morning, there's several pictures of me. I mean, you talk about blackmailing. You're talking about my phone number. Find a picture of me sporting my UNLV Running Rebs jacket, bright red and black striped jacket around the parochial leagues, thinking that I was going to play for Tark the Shark one day. That is there how you blackmail go. Nick Salazar right there, is finding that. So I actually grew up with quite an affection for
Absolutely. Friend
of the Running Rebs. It wasn't until, of course, the new Mountain West emerged that they became a conference rival. But
it was actually a really good tidbit of information. You know, Ross, I'm actually surprised when people come up and they see either they come into my office, they see my degree, or they see me like I was wearing. That's why he was joking with me this morning. They'll see the hoodie on with UNLV. Oh, UNLV, yeah. And then they start, I loved Tarkanian back in the day. They couldn't name a guy on the team now or who's coaching now.
But see, but that's where we're different, because I remember Tarkanian. I remember Billy Baino was their coach.
Yeah.
I mean,
we don't want to remember
those
him.
Those dark years.
Oh, yeah.
Right? But, yeah, I definitely know a little bit about UNLV.
Well, God bless you for that, by the way. Somebody should. And right now they're one of the – they're not the top program, obviously, in the country, but they're obviously a top 25 team. So that's – I should throw that out there. One of the things, as you mentioned, the two top teams on the men's and women's side that were voted in our division, Hutch, and arguably right now the two really experienced coach. You mentioned Onchus, and then you mentioned, obviously, on the men's side with Steve Eck. So rightfully so, and maybe even, as you mentioned, Seward County. But the thing that we do know is expectations from last year, and that's another thing that we can talk about, carryover, because you guys won 29 games last year. So to me, a lot of these teams that get ranked 1, 2, and 3, I mean, Dodge City in football was picked last. Dodge City's going to win the conference. They have a chance. Everything goes off last year, so I know you guys don't take any stock in this stuff, I'm assuming.
No, not at all. And I think that if I did so, I would be violating what I would, you know, what I preach, because I've constantly preached to the kids that, you know, we're very process-oriented in our thinking. You know, we're not product-oriented, which I know sounds like just a whole lot of hoopla, but we really take it seriously.
That's what they teach at New Mexico, right there.
Exactly. We don't want a scoreboard watch. We want to just take it one possession at a time, concentrate on what you're doing at that moment. And so I think for me to get wrapped up in, you know, where they picked us in the preseason poll would be actually violating my own doctrine, so to speak. And so we did definitely discuss it today in practice. And I just said, again, we have very little expectations and a lot to prove.
Talk about some of the players that you have coming in. Because, you, like you said, that you basically have had to reload the whole deal. You have two of them from leftover last year, able to use them also. But talk about some of your players.
Well, obviously, it starts with the two that have stayed with us. And that, of course, the first was Allegria Chisholm, you know, 5'10 guard out of Wichita Heights High School, started quite a bit for us last year, was more of a role player last year. We definitely need her to score. I mean, she's capable of doing everything. She was obviously a Division I transfer when we got her last year. So she has all the tools, but we're definitely going to count on her to score more. Jasmine Christmas is the most athletic player in the conference in terms of her body control, in terms of her ability to attack the basket. But where she's really, really grown quite a bit is her ability to lead the team. I think our culture of our program, which is another thing we just emphasize to the nth degree, is so strong, and it's really because of her leadership. She holds the kids accountable. She makes sure they do things the way that we want them done. and I'm really hoping that she has just a monster season. But those two obviously are our two returners. A lot of people today, particularly, you know, Cole, everybody referenced just having so much youth on their team. You know, we're the same. You know, we have seven freshmen. So we definitely have those sort of struggles as well. But in addition to Jasmine and Allegria, you know, we brought in several transfers as well, as we did last 2 years ago. You know, one, of course, and the one that's just blossoming into just a fantastic post player, 6'2", Zantaya Davis out of Newark, New Jersey. She was a transfer. She actually walked on at Middle Tennessee State University, which is traditionally a very good mid-major women's basketball program. She's the real deal, and we feel like she will probably lead this team in scoring, lead the team in rebounding. But she just, you know, she hadn't played in a whole year because she played as a freshman, didn't play as a sophomore, and so she's kind of getting back into the flow. But she's just been tremendous on the inside. We got another Davis, no relation. Sondra Davis is a transfer from Bowie State back in Maryland, 6'1", lanky. Actually, after this weekend, her recruitment is just through the roof. She will sign high major, and we definitely feel like she is. She shoots the ball well from the outside. She scores on the block and absolutely does everything. And then Shaquana Collins is a little point guard we got out of Jackson Community College in Jackson, Michigan. And she averaged about 16 points a game last year. And so with those five sophomores, I feel like that should be enough, mixed with an incredibly talented freshman class, to keep us competitive every night and to just help us weather the storm and grind out games. And you know, I think that we have as much talent as anyone in the conference.
That is Nick Salazar, first-year women's coach, joining us here on the Buster Coaches Show. Take a break, come back. We'll wrap things up from Jax on KBUF. All right, back on the Buster Coaches Show, AM 1030 KBUF, alongside Ross Miller, Mike Pilosoff. $1.50 taco night, and Coach Salazar is promoting that, so come on down, join us.
I am from New Mexico, definitely have to give a shout-out to Dollar Taco now.
Absolutely. That is Nick Salazar, head women's coach, joining us here on the Buster Coaches Show. We got a couple minutes left, and I think, you know, you hit it right on the head, but I want to get to a point before we get out of here on just transitioning into you are on Coach Sharp's staff, so this isn't like it's totally revamped, but do you have a different system? Is everything going to stay the same? I mean, Coach Sharp did one heck of a job in her time here, and people will say that, and they'll say you have big shoes to fill, but are you changing the system? Are you tweaking it? Or
there is absolutely nothing about what we're doing this year that resembles last year in the least. and that's, I say that with a great deal of respect for Alora. She is a fantastic young women's basketball coach. She's already doing amazing things in Hattiesburg. You know, had the chance in a limited capacity to visit with her a little bit this past weekend. I mean, she's a phenomenal person. I was reminded of this very early in this process when a booster came up to me and says, well, all you got to do is win 30 and have two All-Americans, and you'll be just fine. So I definitely know the gravity of the situation. But again, I'm going to practice what I preach. You can't get caught up in that. I'm not going to scoreboard watch. You know, I'm not Alora. I just got to be Nick, and hopefully the scoreboard will take care of itself. But no, we have a very different basketball philosophy. You know, we will push tempo a lot more than we did last year. We will play full court defense considerably more. I mean, even little things, she was more of a pack line man-to-man defense. I'm more of a pressure man-to-man defense person. But yeah, there will be a lot of changes. And so there's a lot new, and that's what I tried to emphasize this morning at the press conference. There's just a lot of new, but what we hope is there will be a lot of exciting as well.
Real quick, like, give a shout-out to Whitney, too, because she's a fantastic, and she's really kind of the stable part of this.
Whitney Corley is the best assistant you possibly could have. There is nothing about this that has been difficult at all, and it's 99% of it is because of her. I think she's done a phenomenal job. You know, John Rutherford is our new assistant. He's from the Wichita area. He's been coaching AAU and high school basketball in Wichita. And as we joke in the office, Whitney is actually the only one who gets anything really done throughout the day, because John and I usually are just going back and forth with X's and O's or football or fill in the blank. But we have a great staff, and you're absolutely right. I could not do it without them. Like I said, we feel like we have an exciting product on the floor, and hopefully we'll have the opportunity to rival some of the success that we've had in the past couple of years.
Well, Coach, we appreciate you coming on, and we appreciate Whitney, too, because she follows me on Twitter. So I got to give her a shout-out there, one of my very few followers. So, Coach, appreciate you coming on, and good luck coming up. You got Panhandle State in a scrimmage, I know that, and you open the season in 2 weeks.
Yes, we are actually hosting a scrimmage here in the gym this Saturday. Games start at 12. We play four times. We have several regional schools coming in. I'd love for people to come out to the DPAC and get their first look at the Busters against some real competition.
There you go. Please get on out there. Coach, we will see you very shortly. That is Nick Salazar. That's going to wrap it up for us here on another edition of the Buster Coaches Show. Good job, as always, by Brett Erskine back in the studio. Reminder, coming up on Saturday, we will have the Busters taking on Dodge City. That'll be a 6:30 Taco Bell pregame show, 7 o'clock kick right here on AM 1030 KBUF. For Ross Miller, I'm Mike Pilosoff. Talk to you later.